Well, today we're celebrating the Feast of the Transfiguration, and in liturgical calendar circles, this is weird, because and of course that's a very small group of people. Maybe Adele, maybe me. There might be a few other people out and about that are thinking, but this is it's weird because if Sunday falls on August 6th. Which does not happen every year. It doesn't, every cycle, seven years-ish, depending on leap years and various other kinds of things. If it falls on a Sunday, then it takes precedent over the regular Sunday things. And it's one of those that, it's one of those days, if you look in your calendar in the Book of Common Prayer, it's one of those days that, amongst very few, Christmas. If Christmas falls on a Sunday, it takes precedent. Oh, you would think, oh, of course. Epiphany, oh, you would assume that. But the Transfiguration, it falls on a Sunday and it takes precedent. And so here we are celebrating. We have broken out of green and we have white. You can see this. You can see the beautiful flowers, white, which relate back to that reading that's in the gospel reading, which talks about dazzling white. Moses, we heard the story from Moses about his face turning a dazzling white, where he had to veil himself. We hear all of these things in this time of transfiguration. And so here we are in the middle of August, or mid-August. We are thinking about the transfiguration and what it means. So I want to review the story a little bit. Now, you heard that Jesus and the important disciples, Peter, James, and John, they went up onto a mountain. And it's something that had been practiced and continues to be practiced by people who have a religious center. They went to go and reflect and pray. And they went up onto this mountain. And it's a place where you can go visit today. There's a church there. This is the Church of the Transfiguration. It's on Mount Tabor. Here is Mount Tabor. You can kind of see that it's up there. It's right near the Sea of Galilee. And it's a place that this is the traditional pilgrimage site that people would go to. Some people would go there. I don't know who that would be. So it's a place where you can go visit. And when I was in the Holy Land last year, I went and visited this church. And the picture that I have here is from that very place. And it's showing this moment when Jesus got up there with his disciples. It said that they were just barely keeping awake. They were nearing sleep. And they saw this amazing thing. They saw Jesus up there, and he was transfigured. His face was transfigured, and two figures came and spent time with him, had a conversation with him, Moses and Elijah. Why is it significant that Moses and Elijah came? Anybody know? What's that? So Moses and Elijah are important in the Hebrew Bible. They're like major characters, right? Kind of. Very major. And so when they are coming here, it's making this connection. Jesus, of course, is Jewish. And as these Gospels are being written down, this is the connecting tissue that connects both what we call the Old Testament with the New Testament. Correct? So what's important about Moses? What did Moses do? We heard a little bit about it in the first reading. Anybody know?
Lawgiver.
What's that?
I knew it.
He was a lawgiver. He was the one that...
Joseph.
Well, Moses. We're talking about Moses, though. But Moses went up on a mountain. And he saw and spoke to God. And he was given these laws. And the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, primarily about Moses. So we hear about this, and Moses delivered these laws. What's Elijah known for?
A king.
Elijah is not a king, but good guess. Good guess.
Prophecy.
Elijah is known as the preeminent prophet. So he, Elijah went up, and he was near Jericho. He was taken up into a cloud near between the Jericho and the Jordan River, and taken up into this cloud. And he was supposed to come back at the end of time. And that's why there's always a seat saved for him if you were to go to a Jewish celebration. They would save a seat for Elijah because he might be coming back. You got to keep that space open. prepare a little meal for him, you know, making sure that he might come back into your house. So these two figures are significant. And Jesus is having a conversation with them on the top of that mountain, Mount Tabor. And the disciples are witnessing this. Now there was a voice that came out, and the voice said, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." Now that is also something startling. When else do we hear the voice say something about Jesus? It also happened at Jesus' baptism. So this is pointing out that the transfiguration is this pivotal moment. And if you know where it falls in the history of Jesus' ministry, he has just told the disciples that he is going to go to Jerusalem, where he's going to die and save them from their sins. He goes up onto this mountain, it happens, and as he leaves the mountain, he's had a conversation with Moses and Elijah about this, he begins his movement toward Jerusalem. So this is a pivotal moment in the Gospels, and it appears appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it happens in all of these Gospels. It's a pivotal moment, and that's why it's set aside as a celebration that we mark here. But it actually says something more about us. There's this little piece in there in the story where the disciples kind of stumble and bumble around, and Peter says, "You know what? We should build some places, some booths for you three to sit here forever. We can save this moment. We can lock it up. We can keep it right here on top of this mountain. We can stay here and just watch you three talk forever." There's some human nature in there. Human nature wants to get to these mountaintop experiences, and we like to stay there. We like to put down our roots and say, we're going to stay here forever. Might be a wedding ceremony or the birth of a child. It might be coming here on Sunday morning to St. Patrick's. Right? These are these mountaintop experiences. And we want to say, you know, this is where we want to exist. This is where we want to be. We want to put down our roots. But that's not what happens in this story. Almost immediately, they go back down the mountain and return to the everyday life. And if you read the next couple of verses in Luke, they immediately find somebody who needs to be healed. They go out and do the work that is supposed to be done as part of Jesus' gospel. This story is about us. Jesus said, "You all will be transfigured." But it's you're only going to do that if you're engaged with the world and the needs of the world around you. That is what will happen to you. That you can't live on the mountain. You got to get down and you got to do something to make the world a better place. And that's why at the end of our service every Sunday, we end with some beautiful music. Thank you, Adele. But we also end with a line that says, go out. Do something with what you've gained here in a mountaintop experience. Go and do something in the world after you leave this place. That's what this whole gospel message is about. And that's what this transfiguration moment is about as well. It's about how do we take these experiences and transform the world. And in doing so, transform ourselves. That is the gospel. It's there for us. And it's why we celebrate on this day, this Feast of the Transfiguration. It's why we consider it to be so important, because it's a message to us from Jesus about our work in the world. So consider all of this in your life. How you can take from your mountaintop experiences, how you can take it out and make a difference in the world in which you live every day and every hour. And when you do that, you will truly have the transfiguration in your life.